You're listening to The Point. Music has been an integral part of religious tradition and expression for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The emotion and beauty of religious music touches many audiences, even individuals of different faiths or those who don't identify as religious. Palm Sensation is a collaborative effort between the Falmouth Chorale and the Zemir Chorale of Boston that incorporates text from the Hebrew Bible and works from Handel, Mendelssohn, and others. And Falmouth Chorale Artistic Director John Yankee joins us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And on the phone, the Zemir Chorale of Boston founder and artistic director Joshua Jacobson. Good morning.
Amen.
So, John, what prompted this collaboration?
The idea was brought to my attention by one of my co-presidents, Andy Garber, who is related to Josh. And this is over almost a year and a half ago. I put this idea in my mind about doing a collaboration. And then things just started to fit. It was real exciting to me. My singers need to work with other people and sing with other people. And sometimes that's hard to do on the Cape. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like just a wonderful opportunity. And I have heard about Zemir, and I have done some of Josh's arrangements and transcriptions before, even with my Falmouth Chorale. So I knew of him, and now I got to work with him and meet him in person. So yeah. It's been a real thrill.
You always seem to be finding unique collaborations and different ways of doing things. It's always something, you never know what you're going to come up with.
I love it, yeah.
And Joshua, how often does your chorale do these kinds of collaborations, and you know, why did you choose this one?
Whenever possible is the short answer. Well, as John mentioned, this is going to sound like nepotism. It's my wife's cousin, who sings in the Falmouth Chorale, and set this up. And we're always eager to work with other choruses and other conductors. It expands our horizons. It allows us to investigate repertoire that we might not normally perform, as well as perform works that work better with 100 voices or 150 voices rather than just 50 voices. Yeah, so. And I think it's always good to get out and kind of take the blinders off sometimes and see what other choirs are doing and what other conductors are doing. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us as well.
So with the combined groups, you'll have more than 120 singers and instrumentalists. So what are the logistics of working with such a large group, and have you had the opportunity yet to rehearse with each other?
Well, so far, the answer is yes. I went down to Falmouth a few weeks ago and rehearsed with the Falmouth Chorale, had a lovely evening. And John came up a couple of weeks ago to rehearse with the Zemir Chorale up here in Boston. Both groups rehearse on Tuesday nights, so it was really a switch-off for each of us to do that.
So let's hear one of the pieces you'll be performing. This is by Handel, titled Let Thy Hand Be Strengthened. Do you want to say anything about it before we play it?
This is one that my chamber singers, the Falmouth Chorale chamber singers, are doing. The program actually kind of goes in steps. You know, we have the Falmouth Chorale is kind of opening up the concert, kind of as hosts. So this piece is actually just my chamber singers, not just the wonderful chamber singers.
So how do you determine what music to include in this collaboration?
Well, Josh was the real inspiration. The whole idea of doing all Old Testament, or I'm sorry, Hebrew Bible references, which is something I learned in terms of a reference there. It was a wonderful catalyst and a way to set parameters, but also kind of look for exciting possibilities. Handel, even though he's known for the Messiah in so many circles, he actually is very... Most of his settings are from the Hebrew Bible, from his great oratorios, you know, Saul and Samson and Judas Maccabeus to these coronation anthems. He was very selective with his text. And I just thought this would be a wonderful, sweet opening to kind of welcome everybody and get us going.
Let's hear another piece that you'll be performing. This one is As the Deer Longs by Mendelssohn. Joshua, is there a backstory to this piece?
Well, this is still John's music.
Oh, still John's. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, this is when the full chorale takes the stage, setting up the Chichester Psalms, which will be our first combined piece, the Bernstein work. But this is just the opening movement of this wonderful, Mendelssohn wrote these short cantatas, mostly based on Psalms, and this is one of them. They don't get performed as much as they should.
Joshua, you're considered an authority on Jewish choral music. How far back were some of these psalms performed by members of the Jewish community?
Well, I mean, the history of the psalms goes back some 3,000 years or perhaps even more, and they were sung by the people. They were performed by professionals in ancient Israel. But our repertoire that we're presenting at this concert only goes back around 400 years. The oldest piece we're doing on the program is written by Salamone Rossi. Fascinating figure, a Jewish composer who was employed at the court of the Gonzagas in Mantua at the beginning of the 17th century. And he's working alongside Monteverdi and Gastoldi and all the greats there. But Rossi doesn't compose any church music. He writes madrigals, even some music for an opera, a lot of instrumental music. But the most significant thing for us is that he composed the first collection of choral music for the synagogue, published in 1632 in Venice, Italy. And it has 33 just gorgeous, gorgeous motets in Hebrew for the synagogue. Nothing like that had ever been done before, and it remained pretty much unique for two centuries. It's not just a historical curiosity. There's some beautiful music in there, and we'll be doing his Salamone Rossi setting of Psalm 126.
Oh.
Now, this is a question for both of you, I guess. As your members learn new music, how much discussion do you have about the meaning of the lyrics or the background to the work? Is that part of the preparation for the performance?
Oh, my gosh, it's crucial. Mm-hmm. I usually make them insist that they write the translations in, the parts in. We have to know what we're singing, even though it might not be native in tongue if we're singing in Hebrew, and we might not even know it literally, you know, the literal words. It's inseparable.
Mm-hmm. Joshua, you agree with that?
I will take that even further. I think sometimes when we're singing in English, we take the words for granted, mm-hmm. and we don't think about them. The task of the, let's start with the composer. The composer really should know what each of the word means and what the feeling of the whole piece, and that should be brought out in the music. And then the conductor must do the research to really be able to understand and interpret the piece. And then the singers, as much as possible. We can't expect the singers to be able to translate every word in a foreign language. But, in a sense, by singing it, if the setting is really great, by singing the music, they get to understand what the words are.
Mm. Joshua, is there a particular piece that you're going to be performing that has significant meaning to you or to the Zemir Chorale?
Well, yeah, probably all of the pieces we're doing. I hope. Let's see. We're doing a piece by a young composer by the name of Jeremiah Klarman. His setting of some psalms, which we had commissioned, was about 8 or 9 years ago when this young man was only 16 years old, and he's a musical prodigy. And we haven't performed this piece in a few years, so it was fun to dig it out again and bring it up for this concert. So, yeah, I mean, I feel a certain ownership of the piece since it was commissioned by us, by this wonderful young man.
John, has there been a particular piece that's resonated with you or the members of the Falmouth Chorale?
Oh, definitely the Bernstein Chichester. This is a piece that we just don't have the horses to really do on our own, just because we're only such a big town, we're only large as we can be. And this piece is particularly challenging and exciting for the men singers. To have this opportunity to do it, it's not unlike doing the Verdi Requiem several years ago, in collaboration with the Chatham Chorale and the Cape Symphony. We just couldn't do it on our own. And this piece, even though it's just 20 minutes, is one of those. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those bucket lists for a lot of singers. Yeah. And me too. I've actually long ago in my trumpet days, I've played this, but I've never been able to work at it as a conductor.
Yeah. You mentioned it being challenging, and Joshua, I'm thinking, you hear your cousin says, hey, let's team up with Mike. You really don't know how talented these singers would be, right? And your cousin saying, hey, yeah, let's get together and do something.
I knew how talented they were.
Yeah. So Joshua, what is your reaction as you've gotten to hear them sing?
I was not disappointed. The first thing we do, of course, is to check out. And these days, it's so easy to go on the web and watch videos or YouTube or something of the other groups performing it. Plus, what I had heard about the reputation of this group, and I was certainly not disappointed. I think we're going to really enjoy working with each other, with the two choirs.
We're going to hear Chichester Psalms by Leonard Bernstein. Can you give us some background on the piece and why you decided to include it?
It's one of the most performed 20th century choral pieces today, written in 1965, commissioned by the cathedral in Chichester, England. I think probably people around the world know the word Chichester because of Bernstein more than the geographical location. And it's a fantastic piece. I've conducted it, 8 or 9 or 10 times already and never get tired of it. One of the interesting things about the piece is that Bernstein, who composed this while he was on sabbatical from New York Philharmonic, he took some time off because he wasn't getting enough time to compose. He wrote this piece out of scraps of music that he had written for other projects that got dropped. He was working on a musical based on The Skin of Our Teeth, the Thornton Wilder play during his sabbatical, and it never came to anything. So he took some themes from that and wove that into Chichester Psalms. And one of the great sections from the second movement was from the cutting room floor from West Side Story. It was supposed to be in the prelude to West Side Story, some gang music sung by the boys, now turns out to be the music of the raging nations in the second movement, with the Hebrew psalm text. So it's fun when you investigate the origins of the piece as well.
Yeah, which is just killer. And I think I recently learned that he would write little snippets back to, was it the New Yorker, the New York Times, kind of reporting on those pieces, little poems about his progress with this work, you know, very humorous and lighthearted. And as he claims, the piece is just very tonal and very accessible. It's, you know, it's a monster to sing. I do want to mention that you will hear the full orchestration, but Bernstein also wrote a select orchestration for three instruments, piano or organ, harp, which is most important, and percussion. And we'll be using our wonderful accompanist to do the three instrumental accompaniment version.
Psalm Sensation will have a single performance on Sunday, March 19th in Falmouth. We'll have more details at our website, capeandislands.org. The Falmouth Chorale Artistic Director, John Yankee, and the Zamira Chorale founder and Artistic Director, Joshua Jacobson. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.